forgot my mic back there. I don't know if I need a mic or not. All right, good. I want to thank, obviously, Brother Grant and Nick and some others that got us together. And obviously, we're studying the book of Acts and going over some different lessons and things like that. And I appreciate the fellows who've already been up here. Been an encouragement to me to hear all them preach. And tonight we're going to kind of talk about separated and sent. It's kind of a transition period for the Apostle Paul. He was known as Saul. He was a teacher at that point, and Barnabas. Tonight I want to challenge you all to learn to obey the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will kind of guide you and where you need to be directed. And He'll also enable you, even when you have opposition in your life, He'll still come to call you and help you through that. So before we begin, I just want to kind of touch base. We last left off in Acts chapter 12, verse 24. And we were kind of learning at that point that the church in Antioch was multiplying. And before we kind of begin, I know we were kind of starting Acts chapter 13, but I actually want to go back just a little bit. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 8. And the Bible says, "But you shall receive power after that, and the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth." Let's go to the Lord and hear in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, the Bible, and we gather tonight in your house, and thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to worship you freely, Lord. We have to thank your disciples, Paul and Barnabas, who went out and preached your word and answered your call, Lord, that they heard the Holy Spirit and they went out and started churches. And that's the very reason why we're here tonight, that we are able to preach and teach your word, the Bible. I ask that you be with me as I be a mouthpiece to you and bring you honor and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. What we learned here in Acts chapter 1 is that they were being sent to fulfill their witness out to Jerusalem. It was Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So with that being said, we're going to kind of touch on the mission service that Paul and Barnabas were called to do. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to start out in verse 1 through 3 here. It says, "Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaea, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So as we touch back here, we see that there were several prophets and teachers here at Antioch. They were from different regions. They were kind of a multicultural group. So the church at Antioch had people that were from Africa. There were Jews there. There were Greeks there. And it shows that there was no separation as far as what your race was or who you were. They all had important positions here at the church. And the key phrase to take from here is it says ministering to the Lord. It shows Saul's service here at Antioch. He was kind of almost the pastor in this church. He was sitting there designed to teach the people there at this time what the Word of God was saying. And so at that point, it was kind of made clear that the Holy Spirit had called out to them, and he wanted Saul and he wanted Barnabas to go out on a mission. And this is kind of the first time that Saul was called out to the mission work. This is his first mission. And then there was a fasting moment there, and when they were fasting at this point in time, they were fasting to kind of clear their minds and kind of receive what the Holy Spirit was talking to them about. So they needed to kind of pause and kind of separate themselves. At times it's hard for us to do. We can even apply that to us today. Fasting, we may not go, a long time without eating, because I know if you're like myself, I get hungry after a few hours. But kind of just staying away from things, like there's a lot of distractions out there. It kind of separates us from the Holy Spirit and what it's trying to teach us. So as we go back, another key phrase was the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me." What's that mean, separate me? Well, it means that it was separating Paul and it was separating Barnabas away from the church, so that way they could go and start their mission work. It also means that the Holy Spirit isn't just some impersonal force. Like, the Holy Spirit was actually reaching out to these two men and calling them, because the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, the three in one. So it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit when it's speaking to us, because if we just read the Bible and we listen, you know, we answer the call of Jesus, but we don't listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us, we're missing a part of that. And then, so Paul didn't have an emotional experience at this point. Barnabas didn't have an emotional experience. They didn't have an ambition saying, well, let's go start a church here. Let's go do that. They listened actually to the Holy Spirit at this time and followed the Holy Spirit's backing, and they were also backed by the church at Antioch. Let's go back into the book of Acts here. Let's go ahead and read verses 4 and 5 here. And it says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." So it's kind of neat to see how they started preaching to these different places. It shows us that when they went to a place, they had a pattern. They followed a specific pattern. First, the Holy Spirit directed them where they needed to go. Second part of that, they actually went and preached to the Jews first. And then the third part of that, they preached from the Word of God. So the key phrase there, being sent by the Holy Ghost, shows that they acknowledged what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do. And then they also had some help in this endeavor. It seems that John Mark was there with them, and he was doing some work in that area. I think as I went to study, I'm pretty confident that he was from the area of Cyprus originally. And he had some wealth there, and he was producing some financial aid to help out that ministry there in Cyprus. And so when they left for Seleucia, they sailed from Seleucia, which was kind of a port city. If you can kind of look at modern-day kind of Turkey, that's kind of the area that we're talking about where they were at. And so they sailed, and Cyprus is kind of an island, and there were two kind of main cities in Cyprus. You had Seleucia, Salamis, and then you had Paphos, which was the big city. And there was a big Jewish community there at Salamis, so that's why they sailed to that place, because, again, the Holy Spirit called them, sent them there, and then they went ahead and preached to the Jews while they were there. And so when they went to preach, you know, it would be kind of easy to get up here and preach and say, well, you know, you guys are Jews, and, you know, you understand the Word of God, so we're just going to talk about philosophy, or we're just going to talk about, you know, politics or something like that. That's not what they did. That's not what they were sent to do by the Holy Spirit. It shows here that they were preaching from the Word of God, and that they had they didn't have any part of philosophy or politics, or they didn't even have personal agendas that they followed, which shows that they were sent by the church and the Lord. Also, we get here, and we also realize that not everybody wanted to receive this message, right? So we're going to go ahead and we're going to touch on chapters or verses 6 through 8 here real quick. And it says in here, "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, who was named Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is it in his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn the deputy from the faith." So we see here that when they went to Paphos, they did encounter a Jew. And I almost got a little confused when I was studying this myself. I was like, why are there two different people here? And then I realized, as I studied further, there were two names that most people had at this point in time. Saul was Saul of Tarsus at one point in time. And then he was Paul by his Greek name. And this Jew here by the name of Bar-Jesus, meaning son of Joshua, was described as a sorcerer. That was his Jewish name, was Bar-Jesus. And if we go back into the Old Testament and look back, the Old Testament forbade the use of magic along with other forms or attempts to control supernatural powers for personal benefit. You can turn back into Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14 and see that. But we do learn that Bar-Jesus was kind of partnered with this proconsul or proconsul. And that's a position that's kind of, if you go back into what Rome was back in the day, you learn that proconsul was kind of like a state governor of today's standards. So he was kind of the governor of Cyprus at that point. And so this was kind of an important man, a kind of a powerful man. And so Bar-Jesus being a partner to this gentleman, he kind of trusted him a little bit and listened to him a little bit. But obviously, he was not teaching the ways of God. And so Paul was kind of a pretty strong contrast when he went in there and started teaching the word of God to Paulus there. And so he heard the word of God through the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and he saw the contrast there. And we also have to be careful because there's others out there in our today's standards where, you know, you have people who are false prophets, who teach false doctrines and things like that, and it's easy to get caught up in those things. And so we want to make sure that we're aware of these things and that we're studying the Word of God and that we're staying in the Word of God so we can recognize those things. And so he saw a difference between those two things. And when he saw that, he saw that Elymas was the Greek name of Bar-Jesus, was trying to deceive him. He was trying to subdue the deity of Christ. So there had to be a judgment at some point in time, right? We can't go and do the things on our own, especially those of us who are saved, and get away with it. You know, you come to conviction, you come to understanding that you're going to have judgment upon you at some point in time. And so obviously Bar-Jesus was not a saved individual, and so Paul was trying to talk to him and to try to convince him to switch his ways. Well, we're going to go ahead and read verses 9 through 11 here real quick. And it says in here, it says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by hand." So we go back and look. This is kind of an interesting kind of transition, because up to this point, Saul or Paul had just been a teacher. He hadn't really been considered an apostle at this point. And so at this point, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, this is kind of the first act that God had shown him how to become an apostle. And it's kind of a really interesting experience that Paul probably had at this. But normally, when somebody is opposing you, and it's easy for us to get angry and for us to kind of throw judgment at somebody because, you know, you're not thinking the way I do. And I've had this happen to myself even within the last year. I've had some conflict and some interest at work and things like that. And so it really took a lot of prayer and a lot of, like, seeking the Word to kind of get over those things and kind of, like, realize that if I'm thinking this way, this is not the right way of thinking. Well, Paul didn't react this way. He didn't have this, I'm mad at this guy for not teaching the Word. He had this feeling of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit kind of led and directed him on what to do. And so Paul executed the Holy Spirit's judgment on Elymas. He sat there and said to him, hey, you're full of subtlety and mischief. You're a child of the devil. But that indicated that he wasn't an actual child of the devil, like a mother-father relationship, but he was opposing Jesus by slandering Jesus' name, and that he was an enemy of all righteousness. And so because of this, Paul wanted him to cease his perverting of the right way of the Lord. And because Elymas didn't listen to this, he was punished and made blind. And it kind of is symbolic of what happened to Paul when Paul was kicking against the pricks. He didn't want to join Jesus at that point in time. So it's kind of interesting to see the similarities there. And then, so we're going to go back in and we're going to finish out this. And we're going to read verses 12 and 13 because we've kind of left Paulus here, Sergius Paulus, a little bit, because he's seeing all this happen all at the same time. So he's kind of interested in on, you know, the right way and the wrong way that he's seeing in front of him. And so it says here in verse 12, it says, "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem." And so we kind of go back here and look that after that that judgment was executed, this is kind of an important point here. It was the desire of Paulus to the cause where he saw that miracle happen, where the Elymas went blind. It wasn't the miracle that happened that caused his conversion. Just seeing something happen didn't cause his conversion. The word of God that was being preached to him is what caused his conversion. So when he saw that, and that opened him up to receive the Lord after he had, that was his effect after that. And this also fulfills Acts chapter 9, verse 15, where Paul was going and bearing the name of Jesus before the Gentiles, before the kings, and before the children of Israel. Because this man, Sergius Paulus, was a pretty big guy. Like I said, he was a governor of the entire region of Cyprus. And so he had a great influence, and for a man of this stature to be converted to the Lord meant a lot. And so he went on to do a lot of great things, spreading the gospel message at this point. So kind of in conclusion, I want us to kind of realize that God's plan is for us to preach the world the gospel. That has always been his plan. We don't have to start big. A lot of us think that, you know, I've got to go here and I've got to go travel overseas and do mission work. Well, that's great if that's where the Holy Spirit leads you to. But it's also important to start small, doing local things here in the church, helping out with Wednesday Warriors, helping out with Vacation Bible School, singing in the praise choir, singing in the main choir. I mean, those are things that God can lead and direct you if that's what you're feeling called to. And those are things that you should obey and do those small things first. And then God will allow you to accept more things. And then fasting on some of these things that life throws at us, like television, computers, you know, being distracted by social media, being distracted by politics. Those sort of things are kind of things that kind of garbage up our minds and kind of make us less likely to receive the word that the Holy Spirit is trying to do. So it's also, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and we need to understand how we can follow that example. We need to obey the Holy Spirit's call to us. We need to proclaim the Word of God to the world. We need to affirm that the Holy Spirit's not just an inactive force. It's a true person. It's part of the Godhead. And we need to avoid the error of opposing God's work. So I definitely believe that this studying this lesson made me believe that God and the Holy Spirit definitely convict sinners. And obviously, if you've heard anything out of this message tonight and it's convicting you, I'm going to close with bringing you up and having a song of invitation tonight.